Father, we bow down before you this morning and just thank you that we can gather. And Lord, we thank you for these moments that we can redeem the time by listening to you and how we need to hear you and how we need to respond. And Lord, thank you for prayer. Thank you for asking us to seek you, to entreat you, to listen to you. And Lord, help us to listen, particularly with the Word of God, Lord. That's you speaking to us, the truth. So guide us this morning as we look at another prayer in the Bible. In Jesus' name, amen. We have here in the account in 1 Kings of a man not given by name. So it's a significant man. He's only referred to as the man of God. So the man of God, the man of God, it's referred to that 15 times in chapter 13 of 1 Kings. And we read, "And behold, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord." Now we're going to have the word of the Lord emphasized today. So the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord, and then we're going to have obedience emphasized here too. And then we're going to see God's grace in the midst of it all. But we know now at this particular time, the northern kingdom has been worshiping golden calves. Jeroboam is the king there, and the first thing he did, now God had given him a great promise, much like he gave to Solomon, saying, "I will be with you and I will bless you if you are obedient." And of course, Jeroboam never was obedient. Right off the bat, he builds golden calves, which you can't get any further away. Well, you can go to Baal, which Ahab and Jezebel will do later. But anyway, they're totally into idolatry. The king is not to be a priest, but here's Jeroboam operating as a priest at the southern god in Bethel at the altar there, giving sacrifices. So it's just rotten to the core, really. You're worshiping a false god, and the wrong person is giving sacrifices, at least as far as it goes from the Levitical law and so forth. So now the word of the Lord comes to this man of God in Judah to go up to Bethel and go to Jeroboam. He will be standing by the altar burning incense. So the man is obedient to this, and he grows out and he cries out against the altar by the word of the Lord. So he goes up speaking the word of the Lord. Now think of how brave you have to be, because typically you go to a wicked king like that, they would just lop your head off right off the bat. But this is of the Lord, so nobody's going to get their head lopped off unless the Lord wants it lopped off, right? So he goes up there by the word of the Lord and he cries out, and here is the prophecy. "O altar, altar," so he's speaking to the altar where this is being done. This is one of the two altars in the northern kingdom. One is at Dan up north, and this is the southern one in Bethel. And here's the prophecy. "Thus says the Lord, behold, a child, Josiah by name, shall be born to the house of David." Now, that's an interesting phrase. You remember in Isaiah, it's almost word for word when God introduces Cyrus 150 years before Cyrus is born. And here he introduces Josiah 325 years before he will appear. So you've got a 325-year prophecy. Well, God is so faithful, he's going to also give a prophecy that's going to happen immediately. And that is always so good to see. God doesn't say, he said, well, you're not going to be around here 325 years from now to see whether the prophecy came true or not. So I'll give you a prophecy that's going to happen today. And when you see that prophecy happening today, maybe you'll pay a little more attention to the one who's given to us 325 years from now. So, but similarly, he said a child, or not a child, but as a man in Isaiah was Cyrus by name. Here is Josiah by name, shall be born to the house of David. And on you is the altar there, and on you altar, on this altar, he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places, sacrifice the priests of the high places. Now those are the false priests. So the priests' bones are going to be sacrificed on this very altar, is the prophecy here. the priests of the high places who burn incense on you. Well, what is Jeroboam doing at that very moment? That's what he's doing at that very moment. So when he hears his prophecy, it's not going to be very pleasing, is it? Here I'm doing the wrong thing, and the prophecy is that on this very altar, my bones are going to be burned in some future point in time. And he gave a sign the same day, the man of God did, or the God through him. This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Surely the altar shall split apart, and the ashes on it shall be poured out. Now that's going to happen immediately now. But it's prophesied before it has. The altar isn't split at this moment, but it's going to be split, is the prophecy here. This is a sign. Verse 4, so it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the son of heard the saying of the man of God, who cried out against the altar in Bethel, that he stretched out his hand from the altar and he said, "Arrest that man!" And his hand gets frozen and he can't draw it back. So you got all the people watching. Here's the king burning incense, and here's this prophet makes this tremendous prophecy, and everybody is going, "Wow, what's going on here?" The king can't draw back his hand. Amazing. Now, verse 5, the altar also was split apart, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Now here again, we got the man of God mentioned, we got the word of the Lord mentioned. Word of the Lord, anytime you see the word of the Lord mentioned, it's God speaking, and pay attention to it, right? Word of the Lord, word of the Lord. That's really emphasized in this little prayer today. Then the king answered and said, now he's got a problem. He's got his hand stuck and he can't get it back. So what does he do? Does he call on his God or the golden calves? No. Please entreat the favor of the Lord your God. Well, at least he is honest there. He doesn't say the Lord my God, because he's not. Please entreat, or please pray, asking for the favor of the Lord your God, and pray for me that my hand may be restored to me. So this is kind of a typical of us too. You know, at one point we're bad-mouthing the Lord. We don't want anything to do with him. And then we get in a jam and all, oh, Lord, help me, right? Think of the atheists running around today who say they don't believe in anything, but give them a big problem and immediately they'll want to pray to God, right? The God that they don't believe exists, or they say doesn't exist, but they know better. Please entreat the favor of the Lord your God and pray for me that my hand may be restored to me. So the man of God prayed. The man of God entreated the Lord and listened to the Greeks, and the king's hand was restored to him and became as before. Now that's grace. If you were God, would you have done that? I don't think so. I'll leave that thing stuck out there for 5 years and then maybe he would learn. Right? So the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him and became as before. What grace? Oh, the grace of the Lord. Then the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. So now the king's trying to cozy up. God has healed him, so now he's kind of trying to make him look like he is kind of right with him, I guess. But the man of God, over and over again, as I mentioned 15 times in this chapter, but the man of God said to the king, if you were to give me half your house, I would not go in with you, nor would I eat bread, nor drink water in this place. Now, why would he say that? Well, next verse tells us. For so it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, again, the word of the Lord, saying, you shall not eat bread, nor drink water, nor return by the same way you came. So here is the obedience test now, really, for this man of God. And he's going to initially pass it great, and then he's going to fail later on. Verse 9. Nor return by the way you came. Verse 10, so the man of God went another way and did not return by the way he came. And so that's where we'll end this, because I don't want to go on and on with the whole Bible study. But what we see here Now, is the man of God is obedient? He goes up to a dangerous way, up to Bethel, and confronts the king. Praise God for that. And God is so gracious, and it all comes down. He prays for the man's hand to be restored. Man's hand is restored. Then the king asks him to come home, and he stands on his promise that he made to the Lord for obedience, that, no, I can't eat anything until I get home. I can't eat anything, and I've got to go by another way. And he's just so obedient. So you say, praise God, look at that obedience, aren't you? But now the rest of the story, as you know the story, he's going to be tested big time by a false prophet, an older guy, who meets him now on the way home and says, come home and eat with me. And the man says, oh, I can't do that. And the old lying prophet says, well, an angel came and told me to tell you this. And so here now, the man of God listens to this. He goes back with the old man, eats with him. Old man is lying, said, God told me to tell you this, which was a lie. But his obedience is being tested here. Now, why did the young man go north in the first place? It was to confront the disobedience of King Jeroboam. So the object lesson here really is, God holds us to what we proclaim to others, right? I'm telling everybody how to live. Well, you better live that way yourself, or you're going to get in serious trouble. So he goes back to eat with the man, old prophet, at his home. And while he's eating, here's this old prophet. He says, the word of the Lord just came to me, because you're eating here when he told you not to. You're going to die. You're not going to be buried with your forefathers. You're not going to go home. You're going to die right here on the way back. Wow. So I'm looking at that. I'm saying, why wouldn't the old man be given his greater judgment than really the young guy who just was believing what this guy said? But the old man hadn't been sent to tell the king to be obedient, right? The young man had. And he's got to be held to the same thing that he was given the message by the word of God to the king for, right? And so immediately then after, the young man takes off to go home, and a lion comes and kills him. And that's the end of the man of God. And so very harsh, isn't it, in a way? But it does show us, on one hand, God's great grace, but even healing a rebellious, God-blessed king. On the other hand, when he calls us to do something, we need to be obedient to his call and to the word of God and not be deterred by what other people say. Somebody comes up to you and says, the word of God told me to tell you this. Make big cautions right away. Well, why didn't God tell me? Now, if God did tell me and somebody comes up, that's confirmation. Then, yes, I pay attention. But if they come out of the blue and say, God told me to tell you, he gave me this verse, and you've been on my heart all day and all this. Say, well, if God really wants, if it's that important, why doesn't he tell me about it, right? So be really cautious if somebody is telling you something. And it's got to be confirmed by the word of God and or by what he's told you, or you have to ignore it. Because here's the guy here who's a perfect example of that. He ignored the word of God at this point and went with the guidance of the old prophet. I mean, the old prophet hears from an angel. And what did Paul say in Galatians? That if I or an angel gives you any other but the true God, gospel, let him be accursed. So we kind of see this whole picture. So one of the things Peggy was talking about, this one devotional, which was Spurgeon and Dr. Jones apparently this morning, was really pretty much along those lines, to be obedient, I think. I didn't hear it all, but obedient. And then to see God's grace is just so profound. And so we've heard this story before, and may we take it to heart, because he does not look kindly on disobedience. Father, we thank you for this prayer. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your word. Lord, we have a lot going on in the world always. We always have those things that want to really gobble us up, our time and our, did you hear this? Did you hear that? Did you hear what happened today? Or did you hear, maybe we want to be the one to say the first thing that happened today that you don't know about, I want to tell you. Oh, Lord, forgive us in all of that, to overdo that, and to stay with what you have told us to do, and that is to represent me and to be a light and to be salt to that dark and dying world. And you have the opportunity, he's given us the opportunity to pray for eternal issues, which are, have to be at the top of the list. They must be at the top of the list, in importance anyway. Now, we have some very close things that really affect us. Maybe we got a lot of pain right now. If we have a lot of pain right now, we can't even pray, and then we pray for that for sure. But the main thing is the eternal issues, and may we not fail to pray for the eternity as it relates to whoever you would put in our heart in that regard. And we want to pray for our president. We want to pray for this nation. We want to thank you for how you bless this nation, but how we are so into the blessings, as always, is the problem when you bless nations that can't handle it and they turn away from you. And so we see that big time here as well. So let us pray as you would lead us in this time this morning. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Well, as we kind of come to the end of the hour today, I just wanted to mention two verses to you here at talking about the word of the Lord today quite a bit, particularly in the account there in 1 Kings 13. And we read in at the time of Amos, you know, we have multiple prophecies in the timing in this, prophecies fulfilled in different times and some over and over again. But here's one which you're probably familiar with, very familiar with, in the book of Amos. And Israel prosperity was booming, and they had turned almost totally into just blessing the blessings and not blessing the blessor. And God says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, from north to south, and they shall run to and fro. Now, this running to and fro, I think, is really great application for us. Are we running to and fro? We go back to the book of Daniel, as he would close out in chapter 12, and he says, God speaking to Daniel, verse 4, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, when? Until the time of the end, when many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. And Barbara even was mentioning that. But with the knowledge that has increased so much today, we've got, you know, with AI now, we've got more knowledge in an instant than we've had all through history available. And yet, with all that knowledge, our quotient of wisdom, I don't think, has gone up at all. And our hearts are hard. Love, can unconditional love is so important, but there's also another aspect of that, and that is the truth. And we have to have love with reason, love with truth. Otherwise, we just have too much an undefined love in a way. And I certainly agree with that, that we want to have unconditional love. That's what the Bible says. And he wants us to be demonstrating his truth, doesn't he? So as we see these grieving, as we see these down and all, it's good to pray for them and that they would see the Word of God. The Word of God will minister to them better than anybody else can do. So all of these prayers, we all agree, go together. And we finally come back down to the love of God, the grace of God. So I wanted to sing this very familiar song. It wrote words there. If you need them, probably don't. But the words you need them on are notes there. The love of God.
The love of God. from sky to sky. Oh, God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong.
Father, we thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy, which endure forever.
Amen.
Help us be vessels of that love, as has been prayed for here this morning. Help us to redeem today. You have given us today, or at least you've given us this morning. This may be our last day. One day will be soon. And Lord, you have those out there that this may be their last day, and if they don't know you, this is such an important day. So help us to be in touch with you constantly today, saying, Lord, I'm available. What would you have me to do? How can I show your love? And Lord, I know that you will answer that prayer. So bless each one here. I thank you for them. And may your love and truth come forth through each of us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.